Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on the ESIAC report right after this. You know, when people call the law school and they ask me how they can learn more about the topics that I speak on over the air, keep in mind that most of the topics that you hear on the radio I teach in detail in one of my classes here at the law school. For example, when you hear me talking about the common law, it was Alfred the Great that codified the common law back in 872 AD into 49 principles or statutes, of which 22 of those are now incorporated into our federal constitution and Bill of Rights by our founding fathers. Now, this common law was taken from the Mosaic Law, the law given to Moses out at Mount Sinai by God himself. It's recorded in Exodus 19, verse 16, through Exodus 24, verse 8, and it includes negligence insurance and taxes, such as income, property, and social security taxes. Now, these IRS tax laws are a counterfeit of our tithing laws that we find in the scripture, and they work a theft on everyone that participates in them. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob gave us a better way of life than income tax and social security, and that's the basis of my tax and status school. That's why I contend that we owe the income tax and social security tax because we've contracted into it. Now, if you'd like to learn more about tax and status, why don't you write for my free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. It's educational, it's informative, and it's entertaining. And best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine when you get there and send your email request. Remember, again, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. Hey, we've been talking about Renee Cassey. Renee Cassey was an allopathic nurse. She was a normal, everyday garden variety lady who was trained in nursing. She was working in a hospital. She was not some quack out on the street corner selling drugs in competition with Rexall or Oscobutrin. She wasn't a naturopath. She wasn't a chiropractor. She wasn't some health food nut. She was a regular, everyday, garden variety, allopathic, medical doctor, nurse. And I want to point that out because most of the advances in medicine, the discoveries that have been made in medicine, aren't made by lay people. They're not made by naturopaths and chiropractors and others that are on what is commonly called the fringe of medical science. It's made by the mainstream medical establishment. For instance, there's a treatment called chelation. And it comes in two forms. You can take it orally in pill form, or you can take it intravenously. Now, the number one killer in America is heart disease. And heart disease comes in many forms, but one of the big killers is called atherosclerosis. Well, one day I was in my doctor's office. Remember this guy I told you about, Dr. Lester? He's a naturopath. He's a chiropractor, but he's also a medical doctor, trained first of all in medicine. That's where he cut his teeth, was on medicine. The reason that he got into naturopathy and chiropractic is because, as he said to me, I was killing too many of my patients. And he said, there's got to be a better way. And so he started looking for that better way. And he found it. He found it in naturopathy and chiropractic. And from 1954 to 1984, in the 30-year period that he practiced oncology, he only had one cancer patient die. Every other cancer patient that he treated survived. He cured them. And he didn't cure them by using a gut burn and poison. He cured them through one or more of these 10 processes that I've been talking about here in the story called the Essiac Report. He's not unique. I've talked to other doctors, other naturopaths who have had similar records. But do you remember the story back here where Renee Cassie had a lady come in and the lady died in her office? You remember that? This lady had, she had a an aneurysm. And it's on page 20, and there's a headline here, and it says, woman dies after treatment at the Cassie Cancer Clinic. And it appeared in the headlines all across Canada. Two chief pathologists, Dr. Robinson and Dr. Frankis, were dispatched from Toronto to do an autopsy. An inquest was convened, and Renee was later to recall, they didn't arrest me, but they held a court and gave me a trial by a jury of 12 men. The judge was Dr. Smirley Lawson of Toronto, and it was alleged that Renee did not have a written diagnosis from her doctor. It was, in fact, mislaid, but found in time to present it before appearing in court. The pathologists assured the jury that the patient would have died whether or not she had the Essiac treatment. Their report read as follows. Death occurred as a result of an embolism in the pulmonary artery, a condition brought about by a varicose condition. Pulmonary embolism had been evident for years. So Renee was completely exonerated from all blame. Her clinic was not closed, and the publicity surrounding the inquest brought even more patients. Now, think about that for a moment. Here in the United States, by the American Medical Association and Harvard Medical School's own records and admissions, American doctors kill 130,000 people a year by prescribing the wrong drug, cutting out the wrong lung, or making some other medical mistake, which is known as iatrogenic disease. Is there headlines in your local newspaper every time somebody dies in the hospital at the hands of the doctor or in the doctor's clinic? Do they have 12-man jury trials for each and every death? I mean, this woman was in this business for many, many years, 50 years. One patient died in her office, and she had a jury trial and had to prove herself to be innocent. Isn't that the peak or the pinnacle of hypocrisy? You see, these medical doctors who came out to do the investigation are looking for quackery. They're looking for wrongdoing. Well, don't you think they could find a whole lot more wrongdoing in 130,000 cases today in 2006 by looking at the standard allopathic medical practice? Let me give you an illustration. If you take all of the illegal drug use in the United States, 6,000 people a year die from heroin or cocaine or marijuana or some other drug overdose from illegal drugs. 6,000 a year. 130,000 a year die from legal drug use. Don't you think that it would be in the public's best interest to forget about the illegal drugs because it only kills 6,000? And concentrate on that 130,000 until you bring it down to the 6,000. And then when the legal and illegal drugs are about the same, then resume our battle against illegal drugs. Wouldn't that make more sense for Sally Soccer Mom and Joe Sixpack? Well, that isn't the way the game is played, and it isn't the way the game is going to be played because there's no money in that. Every naturopath, every chiropractor is a competitor. Now, every drug dealer that is selling cocaine, marijuana, or heroin on the streets is a competitor to Rexall or Osco Buttrick. And they don't want that competition. That's why you have a war on drugs. Recently, one of our representatives, a guy by the name of Dick Armey, he was a representative from Texas, introduced legislation as a writer on a bill exempting the drug manufacturing companies from any liability in the event of an adverse reaction to a vaccine. Now, the old rule was if GlaxoSmithKline, for instance, made a vaccine and it harmed somebody, killed somebody, injured somebody, that they could be sued, and if it was in fact their fault, they would have to pay money damages. Today, that's no longer true, thanks to Dick Armey. The pharmaceutical industry went to the legislature in the same way that the medical profession in Canada went to the legislature to enact the Kirby Bill. The legislation was designed with specificity to put Rene Cassie out of business. Now remember, Rene Cassie was a nurse. This discovery of Essiac wasn't made by some fringe drug dealer or quack medical practitioner. It was made by a standard, everyday, garden variety nurse working in a hospital. Now what did she do when she made this discovery? She got the formula from the lady from England, if you'll remember, and the lady from England said, well, it comes from the Ojibwa Indians. And so the Indians have never gotten any credit for this, and I would imagine to this day, this same Indian tribe, I'll just bet you, they probably still have this same formula, and these Indians are probably still up there still using it. Never made a dime off of it. Nobody's ever paid them, sent them a letter and said thank you very much, or Jack Diddley Squat. But Rene Cassie had an aunt. Do you remember the story here? It was on page 12. She had an aunt, and the aunt developed cancer. The aunt had a doctor. The doctor's name was R.O. Fisher. Mr. Fisher, Dr. Fisher. An everyday garden variety standard medical practitioner. And he had treated Cassie's aunt and came to the conclusion that her cancer was terminal. She was going to die. And so Rene Cassie went over to the aunt's doctor and said, listen, I've got this Indian remedy over here that I would like to try on my aunt. Would that be all right with you? And the aunt's medical doctor, Dr. Fisher, said, well, I've done everything I can. She's terminal. I can't add anything more to the treatment. It can't hurt. At this point in time, it can't cause any harm. She's going to die anyway. Even if this remedy were to poison her and kill her in the morning, it wouldn't make any difference because she's going to die ultimately from this cancer anyway and probably in short order. So he gave permission. Now here's the medical doctor on the scene who is taking care of Rene Cassie's aunt, says, go ahead and try it. She gives the aunt the Essiac and the aunt survives. Indeed, the aunt died later at age 90. Age 90. So she stretched her lifespan out 18 years. I think she was 72 at the time. Remember here on page 12 it says, Renee asked her aunt's physician, Dr. R.O. Fisher, if she might try the old Indian's recipe. Dr. Fisher was skeptical. Skeptical. You know, that's a reasonable reaction. I'm skeptical. I think we should use conventional medical practices, you know, something that's scientific and makes sense, you know, like we should operate. But I guess he came to the conclusion there's no point in operating because the cancer spread too far. Well, maybe we could use chemotherapy. Well, the cancer has spread so far that the chemotherapy is probably going to kill her. We could use radiation. Yeah, but, you know, the cancer spread so far that the radiation won't work. Or maybe he's already tried it and it didn't work. So he was skeptical, but he admitted that at this late stage he had nothing better to offer, so he consented. Let me ask you this. Let's suppose that the Sloan Kettering Foundation in New York and the American Cancer Society and the National Institute of Health and all of the medical scientists of America are really sincere, and all they really want to do is find a cure to cancer. We just want to relieve the suffering of humanity. Now remember, yesterday or day before, I gave you the formula. Renee Cassie said, I want to make this formula available to mankind free. I don't want the drug manufacturers to be making humongous profits off of it. So the formula, remember, was burdock root, sheep sorrel, slippery elm, watercress, rhubarb root, kelp, blessed thistle, red clover, and bloodroot. 9 ingredients in the original formula. And I remember I told you that the bloodroot isn't in the fluorescence because it's illegal. But all of the cleansing herbs are in there. Now, those are all cleansing herbs except for the bloodroot, which is the cancer killer. Now, let's go back here to the American Cancer Society. Are there any terminally ill cancer patients in the United States? Is there 1 or 2 or 6 or 8? With this formula and with this story and with 80 years of past experience and headlines and thousands of test cases and thousands of testimonials, do you suppose that maybe, just maybe, the American Cancer Society could find 2, 3, 5, or 10 terminal cancer patients that have absolutely nothing to lose, and that they might take that formula, which is now in the public domain, which is public worldwide, and anybody can use it. Anybody can go anywhere to any health food store and buy those herbs except for the bloodroot. But I think that the NIH and the American Cancer Society could probably actually get the bloodroot, don't you? I mean, they can get morphine, they can get heroin, they can get deadly prescription drugs. Surely they could get a little bit of bloodroot and test it themselves. They don't need Renee Cassie. They don't need me or you or anybody else. Anybody could test this. You could test this yourself at home, couldn't you? Now, this information's been out there for a long time. Now, remember, Renee Cassie died in 1978. 78. 88, 98, we're approaching 108. Hell, this woman's been dead for nearly 30 years, you know, 28 years. And if any of these cancer research facilities wanted to look into this, they certainly could, couldn't they? Now, they haven't, have they? Doesn't that strike you as being peculiar? Isn't that peculiar? It would seem like to me that if I was looking for the cure to cancer, and I had been looking for 100 years and hadn't found it yet, and I was saying to you, well, I'm an allopathic medical physician, and I don't know what causes cancer, and I don't know how to cure it. And somebody came along and said, well, there's this Essiac stuff over here. I would say to myself, well, geez, let me go test this stuff. Let me go look at this. Maybe some dumb Indian over here has figured this out, and all I got to do is go over here and test it and find out if it's true or not. Now, do you remember the Fisher story here, this R.O. Fisher? After the ant survived, Dr. Fisher was surprised. I would imagine that anybody would be surprised. I would be surprised. I got to tell you a little story here. My wife last year, now this is 2005, points out to me that in her right breast there's a lump about the size of a hen's egg, small hen's egg. I felt it. I said, yep, you're right. And she said, now I've had cancer there before. And then under her armpit, she had another lump. This is called your lymph system. She said, feel that. And then I felt it. And it was hard. It was a big, long lump, about probably 3, 4, 5 inches long, about the size of a Roy Tan cigar. I felt that, and I said, yeah, I feel it. And she said, well, that's the way it was when I had cancer back in 1978. And she hadn't been feeling well for quite some time. And so, you know, I said, well, do you want to do the Easter lily ovum? Or do you want to do, nutritional supplements? Now, she's been doing the Gerson coffee enemas for 28 years. She's already on nutritional supplements and toxin elimination. She takes barley green, and I've pointed this out to you before, and I want to tell you this little story here on barley green. She'd get a lump. Now, I've been married to this woman for 22 years. And from time to time, she would get, the whole breast would get hard. And she'd go in and take barley green, and within 24 hours, it would be just as soft as the other one. Remember I told you, barley green. There's something in that barley green that does something with this cancer. See? Now, my wife's had cancer now for 30 years. So it's not anything new. And she's been using barley green, but now the barley green didn't work. For whatever reason, the barley green didn't work. And so we had been reading about this Essiac. We had this Essiac book. And she'd never done Essiac before, and she said, well, I'm going to try this Essiac first. And if I get some results, fine. And if I don't, then we'll go to the Easter lily ovum and the bloodroot. And we'll go with that. And I said, okay, well, let's give it a try. So she went to work with this Essiac. Now, she's been on this Essiac for about 4 months. Now, I told you yesterday that this stuff comes out of Washington State. And I'm looking at the bottle right now, and on the top of the bottle it says $29.95. $30. She bought two bottles. She spent $60 on these two bottles. Okay, now she takes a little of this. This bottle is 17 ounces, and that's a month's supply. Now, I guess she's been through it. She's been on this for about 4 months. She's been through, I guess, a couple of bottles of these already. And she's got two bottles. This one's empty. She's got one more bottle upstairs. Now, she's about to the end of the treatment, 4 months. And the lump is gone. And the swelling has gone out of her armpit. And she's feeling pretty good. And we think that the cancer is in remission and that it's probably a done deal. I don't think she spent $200 over the past 4 months with this Essiac program. Maybe she has spent $200. Maybe she spent $400 and I don't know about it, but I kind of doubt it. Four of these bottles at $30 each is $120. Now, she bought the bloodroot. She also bought some CanSema because she had a couple of skin cancers. Now, this CanSema over here is called the Indian Black Salve. The active ingredient in the Indian Black Salve, again, is this bloodroot. Bloodroot is the killer. Kills the cancer. And so she used the CanSema, and I think that was about $30. It's about an ounce, comes in a little tin container. And you need the directions, and you need to know what you're doing when you use it. And I'm not advocating that you go out here and treat yourself for cancer now. You probably need a little help. And I wanted to point this out with medical doctors because most of the medical doctors in America know about Essiac and they know about these alternative treatments. They don't practice them. God forbid that any medical doctor should actually recommend the Easter lily ovum or Gerson coffee enemas or wheatgrass or barley green. But they know about them. And that's the tragedy. For a medical doctor to know that he could cure this patient's cancer, but he's not going to use that, he's going to use the orthodox methodology, which does in fact work 37% of the time. But it fails 63% of the time. And I told you about Lester. Now, I don't know how many patients Lester handled, but he told me only lost one. I run across one time an old Mormon midwife. He's a man. And he delivered babies. I don't know where he got his training. He wasn't a medical doctor. He just delivered babies. Kind of like a veterinarian, you know, delivering calves. And he'd been at this for 30 years. I said, how many babies have you lost? How many babies died? And he said, 5 in 30 years. So he had 5 birthing deaths in 30 years of practice. And they were after him constantly. I mean, if one of those babies died, they were after him with a full-fledged investigation. Ladies and gentlemen, every medical doctor that's out there practicing has 4 or 5 a year. The death rate in America is pretty high. It's something like 11 per thousand, about 1.1, what is that? It isn't 1%, about one-tenth of 1%. I think it's 11. I think I saw it the other day. 11 babies die in birth in the hospital. I mean, that's when they got everything cooking. And they still lose 11. This guy had delivered over 10,000 babies in 30 years and had 5 die. That's a pretty phenomenal record. And they were after him constantly. Why? Because he was a bad midwife? Because he was a bad doctor? No. But because he was superior to. He was so much better than the average pediatrician or medical doctor. They hated the competition. Women flocked to this guy because of his sterling record. And so I want to point out that that's one example of a guy who is a non-medical doctor. But most of the medical discoveries are actually made by medical doctors, and in the case of this Essiac, all of the work that was done with Essiac was done with allopathic medical doctors. There's not a single naturopath or quack or creep or anybody else involved in this entire Essiac story from 1922 to today. Not a one. Remember the story about Dr. Bruch, President Kennedy's personal physician who operated the Bruch Clinic, who used Essiac to cure his own cancer? You remember that story? He had colon cancer, cured his own cancer. Not with a colostomy, not with an operation, but with Essiac. Do you remember how they came after him and they said, now listen, this is an unapproved therapy, and if you continue on with it, we're going to prosecute you. You remember that? I showed you that yesterday, last program. What do you think of that? Do you think that's fair? Do you think that that's hypocritical? Ladies and gentlemen, that is hypocrisy to a level that defies description. But it's not hypocrisy for no good reason, it's hypocrisy for profit. And that's because if Essiac were accepted, if it were tested, if every doctor in America had a choice between operating on you or using radiation therapy or chemotherapy or Essiac, you would have 4 major alternatives instead of 1. Or excuse me, instead of 3, you'd have 4. Now, if that was the case and you walked in and the doctor said, okay, now we can operate on this. We can cut your breast right off. We can use radiation and chemotherapy. Your hair will fall out and maybe you'll have a lot of pain and suffering. Or we could use this Essiac over here. We could try that first. And let's see if it alleviates the pain and reduces the tumor. Now, remember, my wife has been on this for 4 months. 4 months. In 4 months, this tumor's gone. The lymph is back to normal. The breast is normal. The egg-sized tumor or lump that was in her breast is gone. And she's used this fluorescence and a bloodroot in combination for about 4 months now, and it's gone. That's what we wanted to achieve. And it only cost us $200. We never went to a doctor. We haven't been to a doctor in 30 years. Well, I shouldn't say 30. 1984, she was at Dr. Lester's. 84, 94, 104, 20, 22 years. Lester was the last one. 20 years. Now, if you had an inexpensive treatment like this ESIAC compared with cutting your breast off, which costs several thousand dollars, and you're a doctor, and you make your living as an oncologist, would you want this available in your practice, this cheap, inexpensive $200 remedy versus the operation for removing the breast, which would cost maybe, I don't know what they charge for removing a breast, but I would imagine $5,000 or $10,000. And how much out of that $200 is the doctor going to get? He's going to get a couple of three doctor's visits, maybe. Maybe a prescription. He doesn't sell the stuff. You're going to go to the drugstore and pick this up. Can you see why this ESIAC is loathed by the medical establishment? I mean, you don't have to think very far ahead to figure that one out. And that's the real bottom line issue. It isn't that ESIAC isn't available. Hell, it's out in the public domain. Any doctor in the country that wants it can use it, but it's an unapproved therapy. And if your doctor were to prescribe or recommend ESIAC for your cancer, and he gets caught, he will be disbarred. He will lose his license to practice medicine. Now that's how seriously the AMA, the Food and Drug Administration, and the National Institute of Health and the CDC and everybody in the medical establishment takes ESIAC or any other unapproved medical treatment for cancer. That's career-ending stuff. ESIAC. Hey, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are going to reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed in total by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website, georgegordon.org, or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. The bottom line to all of this is that any doctor, whether he's conventional, medical practice, MD, DO, or he's a quack, like a naturopath or a chiropractor, etc., who recommends any of these cancer treatments, these non-approved cancer treatments, is going to be in trouble and in short order. And that's because it's bad for business. That's the bottom line. It's bad for business. Now, there is a thriving black market. And as long as that thriving black market stays under wraps, it's out of sight and it's out of mind. It's available everywhere. I don't know of anybody that can't get bloodroot and can't get the Essiac formula. It's a little difficult, but you can find it. You start asking around and you'll find it. Now, the other thing that you can do if you come down with cancer and you don't want to spend the time, effort, and energy doing that, you can leave the country and go to Mexico. In Tijuana, Juarez, and El Paso, there is a thriving business in cancer therapy and with these unapproved cancer therapies on the other side of the border. You can get the things that you need on the other side of the border. You can get them in Europe also. And I mentioned that to you, that a lot of people are going to India or Europe or Mexico for cancer treatment in alternative therapy clinics because you can't get it here in the United States, at least not in the above ground economy. And many people are a little nervous about sneaking around, you know, buying drugs, and you know, you got to sneak around and buy bloodroot like you're sneaking around and buying heroin off some guy on the street corner. And obviously you don't know the quality and you don't know much about this guy that's selling it to you. All right, so Dr. R.O. Fisher, remember that name. Now, the medical authorities were less than impressed. On page 13, do you remember that other doctors, hearing about Renee's work from Dr. Fisher, began sending Renee their hopeless cases? An 80-year-old man, Jay Smith, showed up with a hideous hemorrhaging malignant growth on his face. Within 24 hours, the bleeding had stopped. After several Essiac treatments, the growth began to reduce in size, and the large holes in his chin started to heal. More patients were sent to Renee by doctors who had pronounced them as hopeless. Now, I want you to follow this. The patients that are coming to Renee Cassie are not people who are being referred to her like an abortionist. She's not doing this, you know, like performing abortions in her basement in secret. These patients are coming from other allopathic medical doctors. Mainline, above ground, everyday, garden variety doctors who have patients that are terminal. And they say, there's nothing more we can do. And I heard from Fisher that this lady over here has some Indian remedy that might help them. And lo and behold, these patients survive. Now listen to this. This is an 80-year-old man, this Jay Smith. He's 80 years old. This guy has lived his life. He's lived his 70, 80 if you're strong. He's strong. He's lived to be 80, but he's now got cancer. It's terminal. He goes over to Cassie. She gives him the Indian Essiac remedy, and the guy heals up. Pretty phenomenal. And that's because old people don't heal as well as young people. Now, if this guy was 35 and he healed up, that would be a hell of a lot more logical than a guy that's 80. You know, old people fall down, break their hips, they're dead in 90 days. That's the average. If you're over 65, you fall down, break your hip, on average, you'll be dead in 90 days. Young people, you know, that are in traffic accidents, break their hips, legs, arms, and etc., they heal up and leave the hospital. Old people don't heal up very well, ladies and gentlemen. And here's a case of an 80-year-old man, Jay Smith. He heals up in pretty short order. More patients are being sent. Are these patients being sent by Joe the drug dealer down on the corner who's selling heroin? No. These patients are all being sent by doctors. Now listen to the list of doctors. Do you remember this? I point this out to you because allopathic medicine isn't dumb. don't think for a moment that the pharmaceutical industry is being handled, or the American Medical Association, or your doctor or doctor's clinic are being handled by a bunch of incompetent dummies that are killing 130,000 people a year. These people aren't incompetent. They're not dumb. And they know about ESIAC. They know about all of these remedies, all of these alternative therapies. They don't use them, but many do. And almost all of the major breakthroughs, like this ESIAC, came from the conventional medical doctors. That's my point. Let's take a look at chelation. A process called chelation came out here in the 19, I think it was about 1960. I don't know who pioneered it or who did what, but it was a conventional medical doctor's discovery. It wasn't discovered by some Indian. It's not an herbal remedy. It's not something that comes out of the Amazon jungle. It's not something that's sold down on the street corner with crack cocaine. It's a conventional medical therapy. Now, cancer is the number two killer. The number one killer in America is heart disease. And I think the number one problem in heart disease is plaque in your arteries, which is caused by all that fat that you're eating down at McDonald's. So we Americans go down to McDonald's and we eat fat, and then we plug up our arteries, and we get a condition known as atherosclerosis. And it plugs up your arteries, and one day you wake up with a heart attack, and then they take you to the hospital if you survive that heart attack, and then they go through the process over. So some smart doctor said, is there something that we could do that would dissolve the plaque out of these arteries? You know, they didn't go to the root of the problem and say, is there something we could do to prevent this plaque from developing in our arteries? There's no money in that. So he comes along and says, geez, maybe we could melt this plaque out. And so they got to experimenting, and they figured out that there was a number of herbs. I don't know what goes into this, herbs and spices and whatever. But they've got a formula. And I've been through the process. God, it just works like a shot. Works like a shot. I'll describe it here in a minute. But they discovered this chelation therapy over here back in the 1960s, and they started using it. And then get this. Now, this is the American Medical Association. This is the CDC. This is the FDA. This is the National Institutes of Health. This is the conventional medical doctors. They discover this wondrous process whereby we can just melt all of that fat and plaque right out of your arteries. And they discovered, after they got into it for a few years, that it was costing the medical profession hundreds of millions of dollars a year in bypass surgery. So they began to downplay it. They started off by downplaying it. And they haven't banned it yet. They haven't banned it. But they have downplayed it until today. Here in Missouri, I think there's a clinic in Springfield. I think there's one, maybe two in Kansas City, and there's one in St. Louis, and that's it. I mean, this is a state of I forgot what the population is, 7 million people here in Missouri. And we have three, maybe four chelation clinics here in the state of Missouri. Not because chelation doesn't work, but because it works so well. I've got to tell you a couple of stories here. I was up in Dr. Lester's office. And now remember that my wife is there for cancer treatment. And so while she's being treated for cancer, which you can do in Oregon, naturopaths can work in Oregon. There's eight states. Oregon's one of them. We went from Missouri to Oregon to get this kind of treatment, alternative therapy, from a naturopathic physician in Ontario, Oregon. That's what you have to do in America. I mean, you can't get it here in Missouri. It's against the law here. So While I'm out there and he's working on my wife, you know, she goes over there every week, you know, for her injection of Easter lily ovum, whatever this is the root, you know, where you get the stuff. Now it was injectable and she had to go over there every week and get the shot. And so while she's doing that, I happened to be in the office one day and we were chit-chatting a little bit. And he said, how long have you had that pain in your heart? Kind of an off-the-wall comment. And I said to him, well, who in the hell ever told you that I had any pain in my heart? And he said, I can see it. And I was really shocked. And I said, well, it's not really bad. It only occurs once in a while. And he said, well, it's not how often it occurs or how bad it is. It's how long have you had it? So I said, well, since I was about 17, maybe 18, 19. And then he said, you have advanced atherosclerosis. And if you don't take action, you're going to die from a coronary. Do you have any coronary history in your family? I said, well, yeah, I do. I said, as a matter of fact, every Gordon for the last four generations has died from coronary. Now see, the conventional doctor says, well, you Gordons have this gene. You're cursed by this bad genetic makeup. Now, there's no bad genes in the Gordons. Just bad diet. And it's not bad genes, boys and girls. What it is, you see, I was raised in the Gordon household where we ate pickled pig's feet. We inhaled secondhand smoke. Then we learned how to chew day's work tobacco, smoke Roytan cigars, and eat shellfish and other unclean foods laced liberally with lots of hog lard and other forms of fat. Now that is a perfect recipe for coronary. And that's the way the Gordons ate. My grandmother never fixed a pot of beans without a ham hock. If my grandmother ever cooked anything without pig in it, it's because she ran out. Now, every Gordon died in their 40s and 50s except for my grandfather who lived to be 61. That's the only member from 1900 to 1951 of the Gordon family that lived to be 60 years old. He was it, the longest living Gordon. I'm 68 now. I have now lived longer than any other Gordon, but I quit eating fat, and I quit eating shellfish and unclean meats 30 years ago. Or I would be dead today, no doubt in my mind. Well, anyway, old Lester, he looked at me and he said, well, I don't know how bad it is, but I guess we ought to go have an electrocardiogram taken. He didn't have the machine. So he said, I'm going to send you over to this guy. And he wrote this guy's name and address out. And he says, I'll call him and tell him you're coming. In fact, he went in and made an appointment for me. Came back out and handed me the appointment. Says, here, go over there and have this electrocardiogram done. So I went over to this doctor's office in Boise. And I was shown into this room, and this nurse came in there, and she hooked me up to this machine, and she took this electrocardiogram. This doctor comes in, and he says, oh, my God, that can't be right. Do it again. I was kind of surprised. I didn't know. I'd never done this before. And so she started over, and she did it again, and you know, about 15 minutes later, he came in. He says, oh, my God, he said, You're going to have a heart attack. He said, we better take you to the hospital right now and give you bypass surgery. And he started pitching me this bypass surgery thing. Well, Lester had already told me. He said, you know, you're in pretty poor condition. So I said to this doctor, see, because I'm a skeptic. You know, I'm from Missouri. I listened to that guy. I said, oh, my God, this guy's got his boat payment due. He might have his airplane payment coming up at the same time. He needs to sell me a bypass surgery. So I said, no, doc, I'll tell you what, I think I'll go back. He said, you might not last to go back to Lester. So you got to watch out for these doctors now, because remember, they're salesmen. They got boat payments, you know, and airplane payments and house payments just like the rest of us. And then sometimes they need to make a sale in order to get some money to make their payments. So I declined, and I went back to Lester, and a couple weeks later, and I told Lester what had happened over there. He just kind of laughed a little bit, and he said, "Well, you're not as bad as I would have thought you were." And I said, "Well, how do you know that I've got this, or how did you know that I've got atherosclerosis?" So he brought a mirror. He said, "Look in this mirror. Can you see these lines in the lobes of your ears?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Those lines indicate that you've got plugged up arteries. When your arteries plug up, those lines develop in the lobes of your ears." So he said, "When I saw those lines in your ears, I knew that you had plugged up arteries and that those cause angina pains in your chest. And that's why I asked you," I said, "well, how long have you had those pains? Not do you have pains, but how long have you had them?" And I said, "Since age 17. You see, from the time I was a little kid, boys and girls, I had been eating hog lard, abalones, crabs. Anything that's unclean, I've been eating it. So by the time I was 17, my arteries had already begun to plug up. By the time I was 40, which is about how old I was at this time, 84, I was 43. And by the time I was 43, I had angina, chest pains in my heart. And he could see that. And so he said, "I'm going to put you on oral chelation. If you were really bad, I'd put you on intravenous chelation." He said, "I'll just put you on this oral chelation." So he did. Gave me a great big jar. It had 90 packets in it, 5 pills in each packet. And he gave me another instruction. He said, "You're going down to Missouri with Jackie, and she's got a milk cow down there." He said, "You take 1 cup of cream every day, and you drink a cup of cream every day with 1 packet for the next 90 days, and then come back." Now, that doesn't sound very intelligent. Drink a cup of cow's cream, raw cow's cream. And that's because, he explained it to me, he said, that's because that cow's milk, raw cow's milk, has an enzyme in it. And that enzyme digests fat. And that enzyme will get into your body and it will digest. It will work with these chelation, this oral chelation formula, to dissolve that plaque out of your arteries. So I came down here and I'm just sucking up cow's cream and raw milk and eating my packets. And I went back up there about 3 months later. And he said, "Well, let's see how you've progressed." And so he made an appointment, and I went back to this same doctor, this heart specialist with the electrocardiogram machine. And they hooked me up, and they took it, and he came in, and he said, "Oh my God, this can't be right. Do it again." I says, "Oh," I said to myself, I said, "Oh, this guy's got another boat payment due." And so she hooked me back up and did the thing over again. He came in, he looked at this, and he said, "This is amazing. Amazing." He said, "You came in here 3 months ago," and he said, "I would have bet that you were going to have a heart attack any minute." And he said, you come back here 3 months later," and he said, "You are about one-third improved over what you were. About one-third of the plaque has now been removed from your arteries." He said, you're almost in good health." And he asked me, he said, "What is Lester giving you?" Now, I knew Lester was a naturopath, and over in Idaho, now, this is, you know, if you were giving somebody an unapproved drug, an unapproved therapy, that you'd lose your license or you'd get racked. If Lester had been doing that on the other side of the Snake River in Idaho, they would have put him in prison for doing this. But now I'm over here in Oregon. See, I'm living in Idaho, but I go over to Oregon. Now, as it turns out, I didn't know that chelation therapy was legal, and it was discovered by the AMA, and there was nothing wrong with it. So I told this cardiologist, I said, I don't know. I don't know what he's giving me. Why don't you call Lester and ask him? He gives me some pills. Ask him what it is. I knew what he told me, but I wasn't about to spill the beans on him. So I told Lester that and what this cardiologist had said. And he said, well, that's normal. I've known this guy for many years. He's not going to turn me in, but there's nothing illegal about it. And then Lester explained to me where this chelation came from. It was discovered by allopathic medicines. It is straight from the, from the AMA itself. But they downplay it and they don't use it because it destroys their revenue base because it's so inexpensive. I don't think that the chelation treatment that I went through with Lester over there cost me $200. Now, bypass surgery is out around $100,000. And it turns you into an invalid. It turns you into a cash cow for the medical industry for the rest of your life, no matter how long or how short that may be. Just like insulin does to diabetics. Turns you into a cash cow. Now, I've been free from cardiac problems since 1984. And there's little doubt in my mind, but I probably would have died. All of the members of our family died from it. But, boys and girls, it's not genetic. It's lifestyle and diet. Lifestyle and diet. Let me tell you again, it's lifestyle and diet. I'm the only Gordon that ever gave up fat, pig, other unclean meats, like shellfish, and smoking, and drinking to excess. And as a result of that, I've almost lived to be 70. Now, if I live another 2 years, I will be the only Gordon in six generations now, because I've got children, in six generations to live to be 70 years old. I'll be the only one since 1900. And probably before that. I don't know about the Gordons prior to 1900. I'm just telling you that from 1900, my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my father, and then me, and then I've got a child that has survived. Got one guy, my granddad, who lived to be 61. All right, so the moral to this story is, in this program, is that the medical doctors know this. They're not ignorant. But they're not about to pick it up for two reasons. Number one, it cuts in on income. That's number one, income. And then number two, since it's unapproved, they'll lose their license and it's a career stopper. And so just take a look at it. Dr. Bruce, now, when they brought the career stopper up to him, he stopped. You'll notice in 1959-60, Dr. Bruce didn't go out here and say, let me open this up and let me patent this and let me go out and sell it. He quit. Rene Cassie quit. Now, there's others out here in the underground medical community that are using it. It's been around now, since 1922, and it was around before then. Then it'll be around a lot longer. But it's not going to be passed out by your local medical doctor, although if you ask him, and if he's honest, he'll tell you, yeah, I know about that. Just like one doctor said to my wife, he said, oh, you've been practicing Indian medicine. All right, we're about out of time. I got to give you a final reminder that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. And remember, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Our time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, with the conclusion to SEAC next time. So until then, thanks for listening. And good night, friends.